This is BSD.
This episode of the Media Weekly includes an interview first recorded as part of the Meet the Marketer series, which broadcast live on Radio Omnicom during the week of Cannes Lions 2022. In this episode, we speak with Catherine Crevels, VP of US Marketing at QuickBooks Online Services. Hello and welcome to Meet the Marketer, the show that invites marketing leaders from around the world to discuss the key challenges and opportunities impacting marketers today. I'm Ian Smith, and in this episode, I'm joined by Catherine Crevels, VP of QuickBooks Ecosystem Marketing at Intuit. Catherine is a strategic business leader, and in her role, she's charted with building out and growing the portfolio of tools small businesses need to run their business, including banking, lending, payments, and human capital management. As a leader accountable for revenue growth across her business lines and growing exceptional talent, she's incredibly passionate about product and helping organizations sell what they make and make what sells. Catherine, welcome to Meet the Marketer. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good to be here, Ian.
Just a quick sort of intro. Obviously, we're live at Cannes during this week, one of the most significant festivals in the advertising calendar. What excites you about the festival this year? What are you looking to get out of it?
You know, Ian, I am beyond excited. This is my first time at the event. And so I am just going in with a very open mind, and I'm going to try and, like a sponge, absorb everything I can. I'm looking for inspiration. I'm looking for new ways of connecting with customers. I'm looking for new ways to think about problems to solve. And I'm very, very excited about looking for both like-minded marketers that I can connect with and build on, as well as those who will push my thinking into new directions. So just genuinely very, very excited for all the ways I will be creatively stimulated.
I think obviously Cannes has a fearsome reputation for uncovering the new, pushing, looking at innovative ways of solving problems, as you say, and looking forward. And I certainly want to get your take a little bit on what that future looks like. But one thing I think to ask first is to look at the here and now. And what, in your opinion, are the sort of key challenges keeping marketers up at night? What are the key problems facing brands at the moment?
It's a great question. I think, especially given the incredible changes that have happened in recent history to all of us, you know, we're all humans in addition to consumers and marketers. One of the biggest challenges is really ensuring that we understand the customer problem and how we can solve those problems. As marketers, you said it in the intro, we need to help, you know, inform, we need to sell what the company makes, but we also need to help inform what to sell and what to make, frankly. And understanding your customer is core to that. Given, you know, coming out of a pandemic with a lot of the global geopolitical things going on, a lot of social justice things going on, customers have changed their belief systems quite a bit. And especially we're seeing that in the QuickBooks brand with small business. Business audiences had a lot of preconceived notions about, you know, going digital, taking their business digital, taking their taxes digital, things like that. Things like online banking, accepting payments, even things like acquiring customers and selling products online. And post-pandemic, we're seeing that these barriers are totally broken down. There's much more license to be creative, and you don't have to explain why to go digital anymore. You just have to explain what problem you can solve. And so for us, we're absolutely leaning into this. We're seeing an incredible surge in new business formations. And so we're targeting a lot of these earlier starting small businesses, as well as, for example, going deeper into, in the United States, a big subsegment of Latin-owned small businesses, where we're seeing that, you know, for them, it had, you know, historically been somewhat more of a pen and paper audience, and we're seeing huge leaps forward in digital adoption there. So those are just some examples.
Can you give me any sort of specific examples of sort of how you're connecting with these consumers or looking to reach out to them in these spaces?
Yeah, sure. So again, we're seeing that new business formation is at an all-time high coming out of the pandemic. And again, with QuickBooks, we serve small businesses and help them run their business, right? And so what we're seeing is it really is important for us to understand how to respond to that in a way that appeals to these small businesses just starting out. We call them early starts. As they emerge, and frankly, without alienating those that already have been able to successfully navigate a complicated and changing economy. Just earlier this year, we launched a campaign specifically focused on early start businesses, demonstrating that duality of emotions that new business owners experience and how QuickBooks, frankly, can help them succeed from the start. The duality here, this is one that as a company, we've spent so much time trying to understand. Again, I started with understanding your customer and their core beliefs. There's this balance of pursuing a passion and this feeling of bliss and freedom and empowerment and ownership from doing that, while at the same time, being your own boss, which also means you have nowhere to go to get help, which means you're tackling these critical business operations that can make or break, frankly, a great concept. And so the integrated campaign, which included our first ever brand Super Bowl commercial, spotlights how QuickBooks can help businesses from day one by providing an AI-driven platform of interconnected financial tools that help businesses simplify operations so that they can stay focused on their passion, their craft, and grow and achieve their goals. And so it really is about helping connect that pain or that problem with the solution and speaking to them in ways that address their current state of mind, and then obviously in places that we can find them.
And I think you said something really interesting there about helping consumers. You mentioned moving from the traditional sort of pen and paper style sort of accounting, I suppose, to sort of the QuickBooks digital platform. So moving from traditional to digital, how in your marketing tactics are you doing the same thing from using sort of traditional media through to more sort of online tactics or even new platforms and channels?
Yeah, we're constantly looking for new ways to reach customers through new platforms, new voices, and it is very fast evolving in this space, as you can imagine. A lot of folks, you know, we're focused on small business, and small business often makes decisions very much like a consumer. There are some preconceived notions that it's B2B, and yes, they are businesses. So sometimes they take a longer time to take a decision, but at the end of the day, they're consumers like you and me. And so we're really on a journey to reach them where they are, and where they get their information and consume their content. A big one for us that we've been investing in recently a lot and seeing good success is influencers. You know, influencers sharing their story on social media platforms, as well as our own, you know, owned and social paid channels. They've proven to be a really key way to drive our message of small business success. We're seeing that consumer media consumption is changing, you know, clearly driven largely by the emergence of social platforms, and that helps connect individuals in new ways. And trust and authenticity is becoming so, so critical to connecting with consumers and frankly, is really influencing their brand interactions. And so, you know, we know that SMBs, they can tell the difference between paid spokespeople versus true word of mouth from another small business down the road or, you know, a neighbor, a colleague. And so they trust people who they can relate to. And that's where, again, the influencer marketing presents such a big opportunity for us at QuickBooks. They're really the bridge between the person, and in our case, the small business owner, and a paid spokesperson. And so we found that partnering with influencers that are more considered less than 500,000 total followers. Again, the small business space is highly proliferated. It's less about, you know, big celebrity endorsements, but really people that they can relate to that are in industries or in business sizes or have a similar business formation journey than them. That really leads to more engagement from our small businesses and to more effective campaigns.
And when we talk about campaigns and conceiving the strategies for campaigns, are you able to talk about what they were or your success stories of specifics?
Absolutely. We've had a recent campaign really targeting these earliest of early starts and really talking to them about, you know, one of the first, like, day zero job is to get, frankly, your money flows, your cash flows in order. You've got to figure out when a customer pays you, how and where are you going to get paid and where do you hold that money and how do you then use that money to go and pay your bills, for example. And so small business banking is a place, at least in the US, very much ripe for disruption. And so we launched a kind of integrated banking and payments app called Money by QuickBooks. And to launch that, again, we're speaking to these very, very early tenure small businesses, many of whom don't even consider themselves a small business quite yet. And so we did an influencer campaign here with a bunch of folks who had started out businesses on Instagram who had big followings on TikTok and had them talk about the importance of, hey, you got to get your cash flow in order. And it was more of them telling the message of how critical it was to make sure that from the beginning they were set up with the right tools so that, you know, they weren't, I don't know, having, you know, accepting a check here, a credit card there, something going into their personal bank account here, and then you have completely no clue where you stand, to frankly putting it all together and starting out with this app. And so, you know, that drove really good impression volume. It drove some good engagement. And so again, that's an area that we're leaning into. That's just one example. There's plenty, but yeah. Mm.
And you mentioned there about, I guess, the metrics you were tracking, impressions, et cetera. So I think marketers are under increasing sort of pressure to deliver returns on investment from the campaigns that they put out there. So what is, generally speaking, your sort of approach to measurement? What's valuable to you, and how do you track these mechanics?
Sure. So just to put a little bit of context from where I'm coming from, in my role, I'm also the accountable revenue owner for the business lines that I market. And so fundamentally, the lesson that I've learned is, you know, the most critical thing is to measure business outcomes, to translate the marketing metrics, sometimes higher up in the funnel or further out from conversion or direct response, into what it means. And it can mean something in one of two ways. Either you're growing customers or you're growing revenue. And so fundamentally, you want to take, you know, any kind of impression data. Okay, well, let's apply average conversion rates to understand what this means in terms of actual new customer acquisition. Let's then apply ARPC, average revenue per customer, to see what does this mean in terms of actual revenue growth. So fundamentally, I think this is how we consistently measure the success of all of our campaigns, as we look at the full business impact of them. And over time, you build up a very good and frankly, very data-driven, funnel-based understanding of what works and doesn't and how to drive growth. And that's how we measure. And I think it's frankly helped marketing get and continue to have a seat at the table for core decisions. Mind you, I'm in tech. I started my career in CPG, where marketing is the center of the business very oftentimes. Mm. In tech, it's very product-led or engineering-led. Again, it's a highly disruptive, innovative space, and we're constantly innovating and disrupting ourselves. And so for marketing to have a seat at the table, if we come in with, quote, vanity or, quote, fluffy metrics about, you know, only things like sentiment or share of voice, those are critical. As marketers, we know what they mean. But if we can't translate that into what that means for the business, it becomes very difficult to keep that seat at the table and have the influence we need.
I think obviously we spoke about the importance of sales, but where do you think the split now lies then between driving short-term sales or immediate sales and long-term brand building? And is that changing as we become a little bit more sort of digitally centric?
I love this question. In my mind, when I hear it, I visualize this really intense, almost medieval tug of war game played between two very brawny teams. You need both. Marketing needs both to keep having that impact to the bottom line or the top line, whichever is the business's focus. Marketing can't afford to take its foot off the gas in driving current period performance. You need performance. You need to prove and demonstrate value. You need to drive growing growth. I don't think that there is a business out there that says, oh no, sure, you can take, you know, 12 months to build up your brand relevance. No, I don't think we have that luxury. So we need to keep doing performance and sales-led activities. At the same time, and this is back to marketing basic 101, you need to keep filling that funnel at the top. And frankly, at some point, no matter the prowess of your optimizations, your data, your targeting, your sales conversion capabilities, at some point that demand is going to dry out if you're not building that sustainable brand at the top. So you can't optimize your way into sustainable high growth. So again, in my mind, you need both. And so at QuickBooks, you know, we're increasingly leaning into fully integrated, what we're calling full funnel initiatives, where we target one specific audience and truly take a message all the way from a customer's first point of need and through the shop and buy experience and even frankly into the product. This requires both brand building and sales and frankly everything in between. Mm. And they all need to be integrated. It's really hard organizationally. It's really hard to drive that level of integration, but it pays off. A recent example was an effort to tell our small businesses about our payments offerings, which is you know, an area that we're less known for. And so we needed to both drive awareness and consideration while at the same time driving measurable conversion and efforts to command that ROI that we're looking for. And so it spanned, you know, all the way from top of funnel deep into the actual product experience. And it drove a myriad of insights for us on how to shift who we're targeting, how we're identifying them, how we're positioned, which channels work best together. And so again, super learning rich, very hard to do. But to me, you know, short-term sales, long-term brand building, it's both. And in my mind, it's equal measure.
It's really, really interesting to how you're doing that. And maybe that leads into the next question, which is maybe a little bit provocative, but direct. If you could change one thing in marketing today, what would it be and why?
If I could change one thing, and I touched on this briefly before, in the industry, I would want to make sure that we galvanize marketing's position relatively centrally in the company or the business. I mentioned this in tech, you know, where I've worked over the last decade, after nearly a decade in consumer packaged goods. Marketing often has to fight for a seat at the table. And fundamentally, marketing is that central function that brings the external world in, that keeps us all real, it helps us know where to go next, and it brings the internal world out. It actually brings to market all the things that we've fallen in love with, all of our beautiful products and services and offerings. And I'd like to see us live up to that potential and set the agenda for our brands, our products, our businesses in a way that we can command authority. An example there, you know, is this notion of being very marketing as a function, I think, has always been relatively data driven. Not all functions are. And so the more that marketing can lean into that, I think we can actually drive growth across all functions in the company. Another example of that is marketing has always been close to customers and wanted and needed to reflect the reality of its customer makeup. And so in that sense, marketing has always been, frankly, on the forefront and should continue to be on the forefront of representation and ensuring that we lead the way in DEI. Again, that's an area where marketing can be at the tip of the spear, because frankly, we need to know who our customers are, where they are, how to speak to them. We can only do that if we ourselves are made up of them. And then if we can do that in the company, we can set the tone more broadly. So again, for me, I would love to see marketing across all industries have that central seat at the table and set the agenda.
Wonderful.
Not saying it's not happening. I'd like to see it happen everywhere.
Indeed. Brilliant. Well, I think that sort of wraps up all the questions I had. So Catherine, thanks so much for your time and thanks for coming on Meet the Marketer.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.